Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Lachlan. So recently I was watching a movie upstairs on our third floor. We have, I'll stop there and say, Eric Phillips, our tech director, texted me after the first service and said, "Wow, third floor, must be nice." was giving me a time. It's not a flex, right? Our house is just tall. It's very tall. And there is a third floor, but we've kind of turned that into an office space, movie zone, workout space, but have a nice big TV up there, soundbar, subwoofer. I like to turn out all the lights. I like to grab a blanket, and that's where I like to watch movies. And particularly, that's where I like to watch horror movies. People ask me a lot, like, "Why are you such a weirdo? Why do you like horror movies and you're a pastor? Like, those are so dark and weird." And it's like, well, the genre is, I read too much Stephen King as a kid, but two, the genre is the only where something supernatural is kind of expected to happen, often spiritual. And I find that interesting. I find it intriguing. I find it compelling. So, but I get really scared when I watch horror movies on the third floor. So particularly when my wife comes up the stairs, I always get freaked out because, like, it's always just like her body, her silhouette just appears in front of the glass door at the scariest part of the movie. So we have an anti-scare system in place where she flicks the lights in the hallway on and off. I can see through the little glass window that she's approaching and I won't get scared. I can pause the movie and, you know, turn down the volume, whatever. So I'm watching a horror movie up there recently. It's called Smile. Has anyone seen this movie? Yeah, I don't recommend it. it's terrifying. It's truly terrifying. But I'm watching this movie up there. I'm absolutely scared, but there's no lights flickering in the hallway, no issues. You know, my wife's not coming up. And there's this jump scare that happens in the movie, and I flinch. And as I flinch, the ceiling lights, the light in the ceiling fan above me turns on. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. And it turns on, so I become a 10-year-old and pull the blanket over my eyes as if that's going to help, right? Protect me from the ghost, which I assume there's a ghost. I'm like, this is it. Like, we're cooked, right? I've been watching these stupid horror movies for so long. It's finally caught up to me. 35 years of this, and now there's a ghost coming through my screen like The Ring, right? And it's messing with me. It's toying with me. And, you know, with these lights. And so I can see with this blanket over my eyes that the light is still on, and I pull the blanket down really quick. I build up courage. I'm like, time to fight this thing, right? Time to go to battle. I pull this blanket down, ready to confront this ghost, and as I do, the light turns off. This is a true story. I wish this wasn't real. So the light turns off, and now I'm like, all right, this is too much. And I'm like, Brittany, you know, I'm like screaming. Is anyone there? You know, who is it? Who's doing this, right? And I'm terrified of what's happening. And so I put the blanket back over my, I lose confidence. I put the blanket back over my eyes. And as I do, the light turns back on. And it takes me a while to realize what's happening. This goes on for too long. I realized every time I move, the light is turning on. Turns out I was sitting on the remote for the ceiling fan. It's a true story. And of course, it happened to be during a horror movie that this happened. No one to blame but myself. But I, you know, how ridiculous, what an idiot. I literally thought there was a ghost in the room and it was me sitting on this remote. But I have, so I have some compassion for where the disciples are coming from in this moment. They see Jesus walking towards them and they're like, it's a ghost, we're cooked, we're done, right? And it's like, all right, you know, maybe not. But like, I really do, I see where they're coming from in this moment. They're terrified. So before this, Jesus, they feed the 5,000. Is what happens. Jesus is exhausted. He's trying to get away at the beginning of the feeding of the 5,000. He's not able to. So he feeds the 5,000. He sends them away. Kids go to bed. Sends the disciples into this boat. And Jesus goes up to the third floor of this mountaintop to pray by himself, right? Not to watch a horror movie, but to pray. And while he's up there, he had sent the disciples in this boat. Did he know what was going to happen? Does he send them into the storm? It's a question worth asking. A lot of people, I didn't mention this at the first service, but a lot of people read this story as one of baptism for Peter. That Jesus sends them into the darkness of the storm and waters, and that when he falls into these dark, scary waters, that's what baptism is like, right? That's what it means to live into a life of faith, that sometimes Jesus sends us into troubled waters. So he comes down from praying all night. The disciples are getting hammered by the storm. They're getting battered. The waves are churning up, and it's pushed them very far away from the shoreline. Jesus comes down this mountaintop. He's walking along this shoreline. I like to think really slowly and meditatively. And as the shoreline ends, he continues walking on water, right? And he walks out to the disciples. We're told in the first chapter, second verse of the Bible, that in the beginning, the Spirit of God, the wind of God, hovered above the chaos of the deep, dark waters. And God continues to hover above these waters as he walks out to the disciples on this boat. And as they see him, they become terrified and they say, it's a ghost, or as our son likes to call it, a goose. It's a goose, right? No person can walk on water. Lights don't just flick on and off on their own, right? There's a ghost. Something is wrong. And fear is what dictates this story. In this short story, a phrase for fear is used four different times. And I think we would be afraid too, right, if we saw this happen. After all, we know a little bit of something about fear, especially right now, right? Life in 2025 can feel a little bit like a storm, right? Like we're getting battered, that the waves are churning, right? And we are afraid. And I was talking, I asked a number of people this week, what are you afraid of? This is the question I've been asking people. And the responses have been really fascinating. For some, it's economic fears, right? We have a lot of government employees in our church community. And there's fear about resourcing. There's fear about what's going to happen with clients. There's fear about, will I have a job next month? For others, it's economic fears related to inflation, right? I went and got eggs at Food Lion this week. They were $6. As I was getting them, there's a sweet old lady behind me, and I was like, I'm going to need a minute here. I was just processing prices. I was like, I think something's wrong here. I think these are mislabeled. We went to Waffle House Wednesday morning as a family before the snow. For the first time in my life, I saw a sticker on the menu. And I was like, what are they doing with this sticker? Waffle House is doing something new. I don't like it. I'm afraid, right? They still have the all-star breakfast? And there's a sticker that said, because of the price of eggs, there's a surcharge, 50 cents extra. An egg, not even Waffle House is safe, right? For many of us, it's fear about safety. I've heard a lot of y'all's parents talk about us having a conversation this week with a parent over lunch, like, are we really gonna send our kid to school, to kindergarten? Is this happening, right? Is it safe to send our kid to school right now? Our son is in daycare and he knows how to do a lockdown drill. We get alerts about it. The kid is three. He's three. He's cooked. No, I'm kidding. He's not cooked. But I've heard this phrase. I've been overusing it. The kids are getting to me. We're cooked. I love that phrase. But he's three. He shouldn't know what a lockdown drill is. None of you should, right? I didn't have lockdown drills as a kid. For others, it's social fear, right? Is my gender, my sexuality, my orientation, my race, is it going to get me into a sticky situation today, right? How am I going to be perceived? What is the fallout from social media going to be? The great social media experiment. Jonathan Haidt is writing extensively about this right now, and he's saying no social media until puberty, and we have to get smartphones out of the classroom. Kids, relax, I'm not your enemy, right? But like, social psychologists are now starting to study this, and like, the effects aren't great of social media. For others, it's health related, right? Well, what will the results of that biopsy be, right? That diagnosis, when will we hear back? Or maybe you've had some sort of ongoing thing and you're coming face to face, I've heard this a lot, with how hard our healthcare system is to navigate, right? How tricky it is, how expensive it is, how high the barrier of entry is. For others, it's environmental fears. I hear a lot about climate change and why are the winters so cold and why are the summers so hot, right? Or the threat of nuclear war. Is someone gonna press the button, right? It's easy to be afraid right now. And there's more reasons, and I'm gonna continue to share them. I'm kidding, relax. I know that's a lot. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but it's a lot. We have this swirling in our head, right? And when it comes to our faith, how many of us have been told or trained that we need to have a big faith, a giant faith, right, that can combat the storm and steady the boat, the waves that are churning beneath us, a bulletproof faith with no doubts and no questions. But Peter takes one step. Peter takes one step when nobody else would. The disciples in the beginning of this story are terrified. And at the end of the story, they are worshiping Jesus, referring to him as the Son of God. And in between this communal fear and this communal praise is one guy, the actions, the faith of one person. The disciples see Jesus walking on the water. They say it's a ghost. Jesus says to them, "Have no fear. Take courage. It's me. Do not be afraid." And Peter responds to them, "Lord, if it is you, call me out on the water to meet you." And we can hear the hesitation in his voice. "Lord, if it is you," right? Not saying it is, but "if it is, call me to meet you on the water." We can hear the hesitation, the uncertainty, and we can hear the possibility of faith, right? "Lord, if it is you, call me out to meet you on the water. Call me out toward you. Not give me the supernatural power to walk on water by myself, but call me out toward you," because Peter knows that whatever Jesus commands, Jesus delivers on. Jesus can do. Jesus says, like that Tiger Woods meme that I love, "Come on, big dog." Big dog, right? "Come on, let's go. Let's roll." Peter gets out of the boat and he takes that first step onto the water, like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, right? With a leap of faith as he steps forward under the invisible beam. I love that scene, right? And he's doing it. Peter's doing it. He's walking on water with Jesus, toward Jesus. And his name, Peter, in Greek, Petros, just means rock or stone. My wife bought our son a book called The Book of Belonging. It's a children's book, Bible Stories for Kind and Compassionate Kids. Very, very hopeful that this book is going to have an impact on his life. It's beautiful. I love the art and the stories. I was flipping through it this week, and I kid you not, not trying to get weird with my faith. I flipped open the book, and the first thing it turned to was to this story. And I did think that was interesting. It's a ghost. I'm kidding. But I was excited. I was like, "Oh, this is what I'm preaching on. Let's see, you know, I probably won't learn anything from this children's book, but I might as well take a gander, you know, and see what's going on." And it said something I thought was so beautiful. In the retelling of the story, it says, "Rocks stand firm," Peter thought, as the wind tugged at him, walking on the water, "but they also sink," teased the doubts in his mind. Very artistic. Love that. And Peter, in this moment begins to sink like a rock. He notices the strong wind. He becomes afraid again, and he sinks, and he calls out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." And Jesus catches him once again, big dog, right? Grabs him, catches him, and he says to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little faith." We don't know how Jesus said this. We don't know his inflection. We don't know his tone, right? Was he angry? Was he shouting? I like to imagine that Jesus kind of asks this question playfully, right? He doesn't ask it without grabbing him. He saves him. He pulls him out of the water. But I like to think there's some Tiger Woods big dog energy going on here, right? That he says to him, "Dude, what are you doing? Why did you doubt? It's me, the big guy, right? You're not going under." That's what I like to think, that little faith maybe is enough for Jesus. That Jesus can work with a little bit of faith. After all, it's in this same gospel that Jesus says, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can say to this mountain this way, and you can say to that mountain that way, and it will move." And it's right before this moment, the feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus takes a little bit of food from one lunch pail, one lunch box, right? 5 loaves, 2 fish, and feeds 5,000 people. Maybe a little's enough. One of my favorite bands is Angels and Airwaves. Not going to ask you to raise your hands because it'll be me and one other dude. And, you know, if you like them, great. If you like Angels and Airwaves, raise your hand. Wow, it's tough. It's worse than I imagined. It's me and two dudes, right? But where two or three are gathered, there I will be, Jesus says, right? Angels and Airwaves, I love this band. The lead singer is from Blink-182, which maybe a lot of y'all are more familiar with. I remember getting one of their first records. It was the first explicit record that I convinced my mom to let me buy. Blink-182 is a punk rock band, and the lead singer, Tom DeLonge, was in this band. They're still going. They've reunited. They're still rolling. But he had a daughter, and he said, "I want to write songs about hope. I'm tired of writing about rebelling against your parents and listening to punk rock and drinking, so I want to write songs about hope." So he starts this band, Angels and Airwaves, and they begin writing. And one of the songs, it's called "A Little's Enough," he writes, Tom DeLonge, the punk rocker, like the punk rocker, writes about the coming kingdom of God. They're not a Christian band. But listen to these lyrics of what he says. "When all is said and done, will we still feel pain inside? Will the scars go away with night? Try to smile for the morning light. It's like the best dream to have when everything is not so sad. Every tear is not alone, like God himself is coming home." And then it builds into this huge sweeping space rock chorus. I saw them with Weezer years ago. It was absolutely epic. I love this chorus. "I'm sorry I have to say it," he sings, "but you look like you're sad. Your smile is gone and I've noticed it bad. The cure is if you let in just a little more love. I promise you this, a little's enough." A little's enough. Peter only has a little faith, but maybe it's enough. After all, no one else gets out of the boat with him, right? All the disciples are there. A little faith may be all that's needed to transfigure a story that starts with terror into one that ends with the worship of Jesus as the Son of God. I wonder if this is why Peter is included in the transfiguration moment, because he represents us all. We all have that fear inside of us, that we're cooked energy, right? It exists just below that shelf in our chest, right? Of we're not gonna make it, we're done for. We all have that, and we all combat that from time to time. And we all have the courage inside of us, too, of the possibility of faith that allows us just to take one step towards Jesus on the ocean. And when that mustard seed of faith fails, and it will for all of us, when that little faith that we all have folds in on itself, when we start to see the waves churning beneath our feet and feel the wind on our back, and we get scared and we sink like a stone, like a Peter, Jesus reaches out and grabs us. It's not a ghost. It's not just a ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Wind. I had big youth pastor energy right there. It's not a ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. It sounds cheesy, but it is. It's the Spirit of God sweeping over the chaotic waters of the dark and the deep to grab us and to hold on to us, reaching out to us, always saving us from sinking, saying, you're not cooked and I'm not a ghost. It's going to be okay. Do not be afraid. Not because I've saved you from the storms, not because I've prevented you from entering into the chaotic waters, but because I'm with you. I may have even sent you into the waters, but I walked out on top of them to be with you and near you and invited you to walk out onto those waters with me. And when you fell, which we inevitably all do, and begin to sink, I grabbed you like Tiger Woods, big dog. Amen.